In and Out of the Kitchen by Damien Trench. The Supplement. Sunday, February the 6th. It has been several weeks now since my partner Anthony and our ever-dependable builder, Mr. Mullaney, decided to go into the business of house renovation together, and it's not yet something that I feel that I have fully come to terms with. Anthony seems worryingly confident as ever, and is convinced that his financial and logistical skills, coupled with Mr. Mullaney's undoubted building acumen, will enable them to tart up some dilapidated pile and sell it on for a handsome profit. I've always been somewhat wary of Anthony's fearsome habit of leaping both feet first into absurd schemes, but I'm sure both he and Mr. Mullaney are all too aware of just what invaluable help I could offer vis-a-vis designing a practical kitchen layout, something that I have many times daydreamt upon. Where to position a butler sink, for instance, optimum shelf heights to allow storage of and brisk access to an 8-cup cafetiere, and which surfaces are most scuff-resistant when subjected to the daily rigours of a weighty bread crock. The real problem is that Anthony and Mr. Mullaney, though still only at the planning stage, are convinced that the shared-cum office is too cramped for their needs and have thus taken over the kitchen table. The poor thing is positively groaning under the weight of bank details, investment plans, building supply costs and so forth, and just when I need the space the most. Since I somewhat reluctantly took on the role of editor for a Sunday paper's monthly food supplement, a task that fills me with not a little dread, I have needed constant, unfettered kitchen access to check and double-check recipe details, proportions, and so forth. This morning, by way of example, it was absolutely vital for me and our readers, I might add, to measure the heft of my current pestle and mortar, as I'm toying with penning a side-by-side comparison of various brands. Could I get near the thing? Could I sausages? With two large men poring over spreadsheets and muttering about yields, I may as well try to cook in the stationery cupboard of an investment bank. I was about to become, I think it's fair to say, uncharacteristically territorial and shoo them out when the phone rang and I was forced to scuttle up the stairs.
Damo!
Ian, you've just prevented me from a most unpleasant outburst. What a tremendous service you provide. How are you?
An outburst, Damo. Anger is our enemy, as is panic and presumably cybercrime and the like.
I don't doubt it. You sound well this morning? Oh, God, is everything all right?
Everything is fine, Damo. Everything is absolutely, completely, resolutely fine. In fact, Damo, do you know, I have never felt better. And I'm not just saying that. I'm living it. I'm the literal proof of my own...
Pudding?
Yes. Yes, although I shan't be eating puddings ever again. Refined sugar plays giddy havoc with my lipids.
Never say never, Ian. If someone told me I would never again be able to plunge spoon first into a crema catalana, then I would probably shoot myself in the head. Really, rather hard. But I'm glad to hear that you're still living healthily.
Oh, Damo, I've excised the badness from my life. No carbs, no gluten, no alcohol, no sugar, no dairy, no meat.
Goodness, whatever's left to eat. Packaging?
This morning, après yoga, I had a bowl of quinoa with cinnamon and flaxseed.
Well, of course, I'm thrilled for you, Ian. Couldn't be happier, but I've rather a lot to be getting on with at this end. Did you call just to express the magnificence of your life? Is there more?
No, Damien, all good news today. I have actually a rather tempting offer for you. Cracking telly job. 26 eps, possibly, BBC.
Oh, Ian, I don't know. I really don't feel television suits me. Or I her.
Your horses, Damien. Do try to hold them. It's about street food. Each week you set up a stall and cook for the public, every week a different cuisine, a wonderful take on world food.
Street food?
Exactly. You love street food. I mean, you're always banging on about the best meal of your life being that curry of eggs you bought from a man on the side of a road in Uttar Pradesh.
Yes, well, I was rather backed up at the time, you know.
Besides, the formats have been a winner in Norway. Street and Eaton or something. Food and Ruden.
Even so, apart from anything else, I really don't think I have the time, Ian. I've got the food monthly to write.
Damo, you don't need to work all hours on a pullout for a Sunday paper.
It is a supplement, Ian, not a pullout.
Yes, yes.
And then there's the wedding. Every spare minute I have is devoted to table plans, to clothing, to cloth, to invitations, to flowers. Honestly, it is a nightmare that I could well do without.
Damien, the money that this BBC job would pay could cover all of that. You could get married three times over on these wages.
I wasn't planning on bigamy, Ian.
It's not peanuts, Damien. It's great big nuts. Brazil ones. Coconuts, even. They'd like to meet ASAP. How's this afternoon looking?
This afternoon? I mean, I don't even... Where is it? What would I even wear? I appreciate the offer, Ian. I really do. But lucre itself is not enough to persuade me of its artistic worth.
Livy Hollinshead's producing. She did that thing about terrines on BBC Four.
Oh, no, that I did like. Oh, that was excellent. The Capers episode alone was as robust a defence of the licence fee as I have yet heard or seen.
It also says here that she had a hand in that Ned Sherrin biopic.
Oh, well, I did enjoy that, actually, yes. Wasn't Sheridan Smith good?
God, unrecognisable.
Even so, Ian, I'm afraid...
Now, hang on. I'm just scrolling down the email and... I quite forgot to tell you the proposed title for the programme. Street Food.
Well, that's not very imaginative.
Street Food with Damien Trench.
I mean, say my name would be... Well, I mean, I suppose it does have a certain... Look, what time did they want to meet?
Good man, Damo. Josephine will email you the deets. Mustache, got my mindfulness session at 2, and there's literally no point in me doing it if I haven't had a pair. Ciao.
Loath though I ever am to allow myself to be lured by the empty promises of the magic rectangle, I suppose one day I shall have to submit to its gruesome joys, if that is what the public wants of me. And I suppose if Antony can carry on with his new scheme, then I should probably have one for myself as well, no matter how ill-fated they both must be. Monday, February the 7th. Ian had arranged for us to meet Livy Hollinshead at the National Gallery Café, a suitably august building to deliberate artistic deals, yet at the same time one with an impossibly loud cafeteria. It sounded much the same as a Jackson Pollock painting might, were you able to turn paintings into sound, which might very well be why they'd done nothing to dull the din. The combination of wooden flooring, a high ceiling, lightly shrieking Europeans, and unbelievably resonant crockery and cutlery made for an ambience somewhat akin to being backstage at the Eurovision Song Contest, I imagine. Antony forces me to watch it. He says it's good for me to take in low and high culture. I balance the low with the high by drinking a bottle and a half of a simply gorgeous Malbec and surprise myself by getting rather angry about the floor voting system, but I digress.
About how much we enjoyed your series about tureens on BBC
Superb.
4.
Absolutely. Such a fascinating subject.
Well, is there any chance of a second series? Presumably not if it's BBC 4. They don't really have the tendency to do that, do they?
Idiots. Mm.
Famously stupid. Now, oh, God, it is rather loud in here. We could go somewhere else.
It'll be fine. So, Damon, we'd absolutely love you on board. Street food is so wonderfully current, and the sheer variety is what... Oh! Is that a fight?
No. I think someone just dropped a plate. Gosh, it really is quite resonant. They ought to put a few tea towels up from the gift shop to dampen the sound or something.
What a clever idea, Damo. Man's a genius, Livy. 100 ideas an hour, and all of them bonkers.
Yes, thank you, Ian.
Can't wait to see him on screen. Oh, absolute live wire. Great in front of an audience.
Yes, thank you, Ian. There won't be an audience, will there?
There won't, no.
Oh, that's good. Now, listen, does it have to be street food?
Yes, it rather does.
I just feel... personally, eating outdoors and using one's knees as a table can render the best dishes quite awful. I've been to weddings like that when the marriages themselves have they've never lasted.
I'm sure we can debate the actual logistics of eating the food. What we're really after now...
Antony and I, we're very clear about this for our own wedding. No finger food, good way to cutlery. I mean, this is why I fear the format may not suit me. This teapot... Oh, God, no. Oh, it's pouring all over the... Look at that, what a terrible spout. That is an art gallery. Oh, Livy, it's... Livy, I would get up. It's coming towards you, Livy.
Oh!
Sorry, everyone. Sorry. Just a cup.
Are you all right, Livy? Do you want some air?
I'm fine. I don't think caffeine is actually such a good idea in there.
Maybe we should call it a day.
No! Let's push on. Right, the public see you, Damien, as untapped.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, like a vintage wine waiting to be uncorked.
Well, I don't know.
You're dependable. An experienced man who follows tradition yet maintains high standards.
Well, I've always strived to uphold my values without being lured in by the gaudy trappings of the zeitgeist, yes.
So it will be delightful to see you out of that comfort zone, wrestling with octopus balls, improvising a paella, whisking up a Polish galonka.
I don't want to compromise my standards for the sake of short-term appeal. I mean, you should look at Ray Jarrow if you want that.
I hardly think he would be right.
No, he wouldn't, would he? Of course, another way of looking at this would be to say, look, if the public wants more of me, who are we to deny them?
And that's where the co-host comes in.
Co-host? Now, hang on, this wasn't mentioned.
We've always envisaged this as a two-hander.
Livy, I think I would find it incredibly difficult to work with another human.
Caroline Moody?
No. She's still... You know...
Alive?
Cooking.
Yeah, sorry. Both. Like, 70 plus, but fit as a flea. She will be the tradition, the oak. And you, Damien, the sapling, will bring in you, and together, you embrace it.
Gosh, Caroline Moody.
It was a job to persuade her, but she was very keen on you.
What? Caroline said she wanted me?
Oh, she is certainly aware of your work.
Well, I mean, I would find it difficult. What I mean is, I would... Well, it's a challenge I would welcome.
Oh!
Oh! No, I'm sure it's just another mishap with the teapot. They should replace their stock. It's not functional.
No, that actually is a fight.
Oh.
Okay, right. No, we should probably leave. Come on.
It was indeed a fight. An Italian teenager had provocatively lit a cigarette and was rightly chastised. The whole thing came to blows and it made the fourth page of that day's Standard under the headline Art Attack. It was an abrupt ending to the meeting. I promised to think things over and we hurried out, Ian and Livy back to their respective offices, I to repose on a bench in Trafalgar Square, my ears still ringing from the noise of the cafeteria and my head, I must admit, positively spinning from the mention of Caroline Moody. I simply cannot overstate her importance in the genesis of my career. Hers were the words that first inspired me to don apron and whisk egg, and I do not exaggerate when I say that her books got me through my teenage years. A Soft Breeze Through My Kitchen, her seminal work on Breton provincial cooking, is still my utter go-to when researching anything from the French canon, and I treasure every other cookbook, Wind in My Pantry, A Gust in the Larder. I've even read her rather maligned work of romantic fiction, Groan of the Grove, in which a Tuscan farmer and a blind widow find true love. Rather saccharine in places, if truth be told, but worth it, just for the detail on training and pruning olive vines. All this flooded back as I sat opposite Nelson's column, considering the noble lions at his feet and wondering quite where lay my place in the pride of cookery writers. I would always be a footling cub next to the Elsa-like majesty of Caroline Moody, I feared. My reverie was broken when I remembered my looming deadline for the Sunday supplement, and I hurried back, trying hopelessly to put thoughts of Caroline from my head.
Anthony, I'm back. Oh, you're still in here.
Yeah, not much longer, Mr. Trench.
You really have spread out. The cabinet war,
yeah, we forget the groundwork, right? We can hit the whole project running.
Yeah, we nearly got a cast iron business plan in place.
Just need to chat to the bank about what kind of loan we can expect, and Mulaney and McIlvenny property developers are in business.
Oh, right. Look, I'm fully behind you both. I really am, but I do need to work in the kitchen, given that it is my primary and sole working environment.
Yeah, as well as your study.
Yeah, as well as my study. That is for the written side of my work. This is for the practical.
Don't, we're not going to be long. Yeah, this is important.
Yeah, well, so is my supplement. I mean, would I come in and saute in your shop-office, Anthony?
Well, there's no gas, Damien, so I don't see how you could, since you refuse to saute on anything else.
Well, I'd bring a gas stove in.
Well, that'll be a fire risk, Mr. Trench. There really isn't the ventilation.
I am just making a point, Mr. Mulaney. I mean, how would you feel if I came to your place of work and, you know, somehow involved a parsley in the building material process? Put it on your hammer, I don't know.
I don't want to cause a fuss. Anthony, we can just work on this later.
No, just ignore him, Sam. Look, we'll be done in 10 minutes, Damien.
It is a principle of territory.
It's a kitchen table.
Please.
No, fine. I'll work on something else.
I hastened upstairs to my office to work on the elements of the supplement that didn't require actual hands-on kitchen research. There is a huge amount of work to be done if I'm going to make this stand out as a vital piece of food journalism. Taste tests, comparing supermarket brands, the kind of things I abhor, but a gruesome necessity if I'm to help sustain not only the swiftly vanishing world of print media, but also uphold the principles of the food industry that I work so tirelessly to maintain. As Livy pointed out, my standards are indeed high, perhaps too much so. Midway through a deliberately provocative opinion piece on the declining strength of tinfoil, I got a call from the editor herself.
Damien, it's Paula here from the Sunday.
Ah, Paula, how opportune. I can ask you firsthand where you stand on the tinfoil versus cling film debate.
This is why I'm calling you, Damien.
Oh, let me guess. Your profoil?
No, I mean your piece on radishes in last month's pullout.
Supplement. Yes, aren't they tremendous? I have been championing the Norfolk radish for years.
But an 800-word column about their history and cultivation won't get in any readers. You have to be more commercial.
Have I?
I want some proper celebs in there, some froth. Some traction.
Traction?
Yeah, Mylene Class is always a good front page. You could do a trolley dash with a star. Race around the shelves with Shane Ritchie. That sort of thing.
Shane Ritchie? Is he a playwright?
No.
Well, Paula, trust me, I have a strong vision for the supplement, and I appreciate the lure of the famous face as much as the next man, I really do, but I was hoping that proper food journalism would really help us to achieve, attractions, you said?
I'll set something up for you, Damien, but seriously, everyone's under pressure here at the Sunday, so if you can't make it work, then we can't.
Is this an ultimatum?
Don't try getting aggressive with me, Damien.
I'm really not, Paula, I wouldn't. I was just seeking clarification.
Yeah, this is an ultimatum.
Oh, OK. Well, excellent. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Tuesday, February the 8th. I don't mean to criticise, but I'm not entirely convinced that Paula has the most pleasing phone manner in the world, nor is she blessed with the best communication skills, or vision, or taste. Otherwise, she really is a marvellous editor, and it's a privilege and a joy every day to work under her. And try as I might, I really can't see how to get more in tune with the modern world that Paula so clearly wants to see in the supplement. Anthony and I attempted to watch an episode of EastEnders that evening for research purposes, but it made little or no sense to me, and somebody was extremely rude to somebody else in a garage. Halfway through, we switched over to BBC Four, where we caught a quite brilliant documentary on the manufacture of shipping containers. For a channel that is so cruelly underfunded and apparently run entirely by volunteers, they do remarkably well, the plucky things. I passed a panicky night with odd dreams of trolley dashes aboard a transport ship, and my ill sleep was not helped by Paula phoning me at the absolutely absurd hour of 7:30 in the morning.
Damien, bit last minute, but I got you down for a press junket for Terminal Revenge 2.
I'm terribly sorry, Paula, I've just woken up and that has made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Arlo Chance's latest. Screening's 11, then you'll get a 10-minute slot to ask him whatever and ignore the usual film chat. I want a piece on his food faves. What an action hero eats on set, what his guilty pleasures are, that kind of thing. Got that?
I think I have.
Make this work, Damien. It was a bit of a struggle to get you in there, to be frank.
Right. Oh, God. Anthony? Anthony?
Anthony,
I'm sorry to wake.
What time is it?
I don't know. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm just a bit panicked. Who is Arlo Chance?
You woke me up to ask me that.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. I will get you a chocolate brioche for breakfast, if that helps.
He's a film star, David. He did a lot of action stuff. Car films, motor fighters. You must have heard of that. There've been about seven of those.
Right, no.
Why have you woken me up to ask me this? I'll never get back to sleep now.
I'm interviewing him later today.
What? Really? Oh, that's quite... Can I come?
It's a press screening thing. Quite difficult to get me into, apparently.
Oh, you're seeing Terminal Revenge 2?
Apparently so.
Oh, it's not out for weeks. Lucky you. Well, if it was anything like the first one.
Yeah, lucky me indeed. I shall prepare a list of food-related questions that ought to be diverting and challenging. Do you think that I... Unbelievable.
I rarely visit the cinema. The smell and noise of people eating the molten slurry that passes as food leaves me nauseous, and I've never been one for action films. Terminal Revenge 2 was utterly baffling. A gaggle of poorly shaven men speaking in low, growling voices about some sort of heist. Most of them hit each other in the face, there was some running about in an airport, endless cars crashed, and someone, possibly Mexican, met a rather horrible end under the wheels of a Boeing 747. Everyone seemed to find this very amusing. I turned in my seat to see Ray Jarrow roaring with laughter. I found it very unsettling indeed, and when it was my turn to be ushered past the phalanx of PR girls and into the interview room to meet Mr. Chance, I was all over the place. In the room, a woman who looked like she'd just been given a particularly unripe gooseberry to suck told me, in no uncertain terms, that I had 7 minutes.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
Damien.
Eh?
I'm Damien. Damien Trench.
Good to meet you, fella. Like the film?
Yes, it's not totally my genre, but I can certainly appreciate the skill that must have gone into such work.
So you hated it?
No. I'm not saying that. It's just, you know, it's very busy.
Because I ain't fussed if you do. I make them, people see them. So I'm doing something right, yeah?
Of course you are, yes. I do have some questions.
Fire away, Chief, fire away.
Light-hearted one to start. Given that we are involved in a junket, I believe, is junket a dessert you enjoy yourself? Or would you veer towards a panna cotta?
Hey?
A syllabub?
Are you for real, mate?
Right. Yes. Next question. Revenge is a dish best served cold. Which is your favourite cold entree? Excluding salad.
Oh, I see. You're one of them, are you?
Well, I have never denied my...
All right, Joker. Jordan! Get this one out!
But ever since
Ali G, you lot think this is funny, don't you? You're coming here with a stupid made-up name, David Trunk or something. Wind me up with stupid questions. What are you for, mate? Prank show, eh? E4, is it?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. Look, I've just got a couple more questions.
All right, funny man. Come on, time's up.
Tinfoil or cling film?
Get out!
I know the way. I do not need to be... I do not need... Ow! All right, thank you.
Recipe. In moments of distress, the best place to channel one's nerves into is the whisk. And so here is a recipe which requires quite the forearm workout. Rum junket, for it was just that, with whipped cream and orange blossom. For this, you will need a pint of best quality heavy whipping cream, 1 pint of full-fat milk, if you can find a reason for them not being organic, I don't want to hear it, a few drops of orange blossom essence, a level tablespoon of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of rum essence, 1 teaspoon of rennet, and 1 palmful of grated nutmeg or ground cinnamon. Or both, let's go mad. Warm the milk to blood heat, about 37 degrees Celsius, more if you're furious, along with the sugar and rum essence. Stir in the rennet and pour the mixture into a basin large enough to hold it, obviously, and appealing enough to serve it from. Cover and leave to stand in a warm place for about an hour, or until set. For the whipped cream, chill the mixing bowl and the cream right up until just before whipping. Sprinkle a few drops of orange blossom essence in before cradling the bowl in one arm and going at it furiously with your balloon whisk. You can use a handheld electric mixer if you really must, but it's a joyless experience. Whip until you've created soft peaks. If you really are seeing red and take the cream too far beyond whipped, it could be saved by stirring in a tablespoon or so of cold cream to correct and smooth it out. Sprinkle the junket with spice and serve cold but not chilled with a generous dollop of the cream on each portion. Perhaps offer a bowl to your partner and builder as a bribe to make them leave the kitchen. Paula wanted something on her desk by 3 that afternoon. I really had very little to draw on from the experience, and still shaken from being forcibly manhandled by Jordan, the exact nature of whose involvement I never really fully understood, as well as the sensory overload of the film itself, I scribbled an admittedly disorderly column about airline food and the production of vegetarian rennet. Not 10 minutes after pressing send, I received an email asking me to contact Paula in person. Immediately.
Tell him he's not getting any more. He's fired. Gone.
Paula, hello. You want...
Bloody astrologist does 2 eps of the right stuff. Thinks he can up his fee.
The right stuff is...
This article, Damien. What is going on?
I might have veered off topic a little.
It's not that you're a bad writer, Damien. You love your subject. That comes through.
The passion is in the ink, as I think.
But this
there.
Is a light-hearted pull-out.
Supplement.
You're just not connecting with our readers. You're not punching through.
Right, well, I'll adjust something in this month's piece, then. And
no, Damien. You finish as of now.
But, Paula, I spoke to Arlo Chance, and he...
Did you read Ray Jarrow's interview with Arlo this morning? He bloody hilarious. Totally smashed it. Now, he's really got something.
Yes, well, he has his subject and I have mine.
Which is why he's replacing you on the pull-out.
Supplement. What? He's taking over Ray?
Yeah, he's got some great ideas. Going to visit school canteens with Zamo from Grange Hill. A column called Toast to the Town, where celebrities talk about their favourite spreads. Rod Stewart's picked Gentleman's Relish. Now, that's what I call journalism.
It seems a little inconsequential.
Inconsequential? I've had a phone call from Arlo Chance's people that was very much consequential, Damien, accusing me of sending a spoof reporter in to interview him. What the hell did you do in there?
I asked my questions and he got angry. What was I to do? Maybe his blood sugar was low.
You messed up, Damien. Really messed up.
I messed up. I, Damien Trench, messed up. God knows that I can take criticism. It goes with a job to parry the inevitable brickbats that are hurled towards those of us who are brave enough to voice our opinions on cuisine. I have suffered humiliation before. A Guardian journalist once described a recipe of mine for mullagatawny as perfectly satisfactory. But to be told bluntly, after all that I'd done, that I had messed up, was hurtful in the extreme. If the printed word rejected me, there was only one way to recover my self-esteem. I was standing outside, taking some rather deep breaths, when my phone rang.
Damo, I've heard from Paula Weaver.
Already?
She doesn't mess about, does she?
In my defence, Ian, I can't pretend to understand or enjoy some gruesome, unintelligible film and then pander to the whims of its supposed star. And if Paula...
Oh, forget her, silly woman. Always banging on about traction. Well done, you, on dodging out of that. Waste of your talents.
You think so?
Oh, yes, Damien. You can do better than scribble for a pull-out.
Yeah, exactly. A pull-out. I can do better, Ian, and I will. I've come to a decision. I will take the BBC job.
Great news, Damo. Livy will be delighted. I'll email her right away. I am, in fact, doing it now. Damien would be delighted to be involved. There. Splendid. No cold feet anymore. Damien Trench, TV star.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Oh, drat. Now I've tipped tofu into my lap.
Oh.
Oh, well, no bother. Let it dry, then I can promptly scrape the worst of it off with my car keys. Oh, now this is from Livy. Gosh, she's quick. Magic little fingers, okay. Ah, delighted to have him on board. Newsflash, re-Caroline Moody, now unavailable to film for personal reasons.
Oh, goodness, is she all right?
Not great in the mornings, apparently. Replacement yet to be decided. Kiss, kiss, Livy. Oh, that's how she spells it. I always thought it was with a Y.
Oh, dear.
But you're still in.
Oh, yes. Yes, Ian, I am. Yes, I am. I am. I am. Yes. Ian? Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. I returned home with something of a spring in my brogue. It had been an eventful afternoon, and just as one door had been slammed cruelly shut in my face, another rather splendid one had duly opened in a moderately welcoming fashion. I hope the door hadn't totally shut on working with Caroline, either. I'm sure she's every chance of rallying. She's one of life's great bounce-backers, as some of the more colourful moments of her memoirs proved. The anecdote in which she was arrested in Warwick after knocking out an alderman with a chair leg has a surprisingly upbeat ending. I was all ready to share my news with Anthony, but the kitchen was now empty, tidied and spruced, with a generous bunch of fresh mint on the worktop, alongside a note from Mr. Mullaney and Anthony thanking me for use of the kitchen. I'm lucky to have such thoughtful companions, really, and have always said so. I bounded upstairs to my study, ready to commence my research into street food and to start work on a new chapter of my life as happy-go-lucky television presenter.
Oh.
Oh, hi, Damien. How was the meeting?
It was, it wasn't an unqualified success, but it did at least lead to some decisions. Now, why are you two both in my study?
But you wanted us out of the kitchen.
So you could do your pestle and mortar business, Mr. French.
Well, I don't need to do any pestle and mortar business anymore. Not in the short term, at any rate. I need to use my study.
But we thought we'd be out of the way.
Well, you could not be more in the way.
Your phone?
What?
It's ringing.
Yeah, well, I should let it go to voicemail. This is far too much. I am in the middle of telling you something, or at least trying to. People wouldn't keep interrupting.
Damien, you asked us to leave the kitchen, and we did. Now you want us to leave your study. I mean, what next? Should we plan our company in the bath?
Fine. No, it's fine. Just you just keep on. Never mind me. I'm sorry, but I have had something of a hectic day. Perhaps I should allow myself a few moments of recuperation.
Just relax, Mr. Trent. You're winding yourself up. We'll be out of here in no time. Why don't you make yourself a cup of tea or something?
Yeah, fine. I'll go and make a cup of tea.
Whatever you're making one, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, yes, fine. I'll make a pot.
But if you're making a pot, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, for goodness... Yeah, fine. You two occupy my study. I'll go and make tea for you both. Yes, that seems fair.
Actually, could I get a coffee? Oh, and biscuits, if there's any in there. Oh, come on, we're trying to...
Mm. Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, what now? Voicemail.
Damo, lovely chatting earlier, and listen, some very exciting news on the telly job, Damo. Caroline's out of the picture, but they've already chosen a replacement. It's that dear man, Ray Jarrow. Can't wait to see the pair of you in action together. You'll be great fun. Speak soon.
Oh.
In and Out of the Kitchen, the supplement was created by and starred Miles Jupp, with Justin Edwards, Philip Fox, Brendan Dempsey, Chris Brand, Alex Tregear, Jessica Turner and Stephen Critchlow. It was written by Justin Edwards. The producer was Sam Michel, and it was a BBC Radio comedy production.